Hey lore lovers, my name's Eric with the Lorebrarians YouTube channel, and welcome to part 4 of The World of The Witcher Explained. In this video, we'll plumb the histories and seek to understand the characteristics of the ancient peoples that populated the continent before the arrival of humans, the Elder Races. Also known as the Old Races, they are the species and civilizations that existed on the continent before the first landing and arrival of humans. Gnomes, dwarves, elves, and more settled the primordial world, established grand civilizations, and lived in relative peace for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. We'll discuss each of the Elder Races, their history, culture, and characteristics, to better understand their role in the contemporary continent. If you haven't already, be sure to check out other parts in the series where we've explored the setting of The Witcher, the continent, the magic that flows throughout, the monsters that lurk within, and the order of witchers that seek out abominations. I'll leave a link to them in the description below. As with all the videos in this series, this is meant to act as a cursory guide for those new to or returning to The Witcher, laying the foundation for future explorations into the details of the Witcher universe. But before we begin, if you're a fan of lore and storytelling, or if The Witcher is dear to you, consider subscribing to the channel or podcast, where lore content is uploaded frequently. And if you'd like to help the channel further, check out my Patreon page where you can assist me in making content and earn some cool perks. The support is much appreciated. All right, time to step back into the past and traverse realms uncharted or oft misunderstood, as we seek to dispel the mysteries surrounding the Elder Races. Let's dive in. The Northern Kingdoms, the Nilfgaardian Empire, the continent of man. These sprawling states are mere seedlings, yet thousands of years off, when sentient life first made its appearance on the lush and primitive lands. Even the great civilization of elves is but a thought, an embryo poised to develop in the prehistoric days of the continent. It's difficult to determine what the world was like this far into its history, as precious few accounts or archaeological sites exist to enlighten us. But the untamed and bountiful landscape quickly fostered a period of unbridled growth for ancient flora and fauna. It's within this primordial, raw continent that quite possibly the first organized civilization was founded by a species of lizard-like creatures known as the Vran. The reptilian Vran were tall and scaled, in a wide range of colors from reds and browns to even blue hues, with brilliant ruby eyes that were sensitive to infrared light and venom-infused fangs to hunt or protect themselves. The ancient civilization of Vran quickly developed the rudiments of culture and technology, progressing from primitive wood and stone tools and structures, and eventually harnessing the potential of fire to smelt and forge metals into elaborate weapons, armor, and handicraft. Vran, by way of municipal planning and a penchant for sculpting stone, quarried from the mountains, built the first sprawling ancient metropolis and erected dozens more cities during their cultural zenith. Massive, sturdy walls, ornately carved towers, and even sprawling amphitheaters could be found within the busy streets of Vranny towns. With few other sentient races, the reptilian Vran expanded without competition. But there was at least one other race that existed at the same point in time as the Vran, a race of furry and short humanoid creatures known as werebubs. Also called boogeymen by contemporary sources, a werebub is roughly the same height as a dwarf, though not as stocky, covered head to toe in fur, and outfitted with beady eyes, large sharp teeth, and curved ears, granting it impeccable hearing. Their appearance harkens to the look of a beaver, otter, or other riparian creature. Herbalists and naturalists, the early werebubs discovered the miracles of agriculture and tamed the ancient landscape, bending it to their needs and allowing their population to grow. It isn't certain whether the werebubs appeared on the continent before or after the gnomes. But like them, werebubs had an affinity for high alpine environments and rocky cave dwellings. Though the werebubs preferred the mountains for protection and seclusion, rather than rich stores of raw materials, as were coveted by their gnomish and dwarven counterparts. When the Enseid, the elves of the continent, arrived in their white ships, both Vran and werebubs were ruthlessly uprooted and repelled from their homelands. The elvish conquerors used their superior martial technology and tactics to push these races further and further east. The great cities of the Vran were abandoned in the wake of the elvish invasion. The ruins eventually repurposed by the elves, who erected many of their own settlements atop the great stone foundations of the Vran. The elvish city of Loch Muin, which sits along the Pontar River below the Blue Mountains, was in fact built by the Vran ages prior. Thought to have been a peaceful transition, recent archaeological studies suggest the elves unleashed a devastating bacterial vector that decimated much of the Vran's population. But the bitter persecution and violent aggression didn't end with the elves. When Nordlings arrived on the continent during the first landing, their xenophobic and intolerant nature quickly brought them to blows with the two ancient races. Vran and werebubs are less human in appearance and habits, more so than the other races of non-humans, and so face the harshest prejudice and discrimination. Although both races are alive to this day, they face extinction, pushed to the edges of the world and subjected to bitter resentment. Some Vran and werebubs have tried to assimilate in human communities, but the vast majority of their dwindling numbers survive to the east, and werebubs frequently seek the safety of the Mohican enclave of dwarves and gnomes. Not typically attributed the title of elder race by historians, both the Vran and the werebubs existed millennia ago, brave sojourners on a blank canvas that promised both danger and salvation. Gnomes, the first of what would be later referred to as the Elder Races, arrived on the continent sometime after the Vran and werebub cultures were already approaching the zenith of their respective civilizations. The gnomes are the oldest of the Elder Races, predating both the dwarves and elves, and they expanded their new culture in relative peace with the already present races. Gnomes are short and frail, weaker than the soon-to-arrive dwarves, but much more agile and just as clever. They're slender creatures with pointed teeth. Their most distinguishable feature is their exceptionally long and pointed nose that protrudes from a sunken face with sharp lines. Their noses are so discernible that one could easily point out a gnome in a busy tavern and market throng. Gnomes don't frequently have facial hair, but if they choose to wear a beard, it's often short and in a fashion unique from their cousin dwarven race. The gnomes' arrival on the continent is shrouded in mystery, but their exploration quickly brought them to the caverns and high mountain passes of the Mohakim and Tir Tocair ranges, where they began the arduous task of building their civilization. The isolation, safety, and vast networks of underground caves the mountains offered suited the gnomes quite well, and both their crafts and their society would soon reflect the spoils of their environs. What a gnome lacks in vitality and physical presence, it compensates for with great intellect, ingenuity, and nimble hands. With the influx of stones, ores, and other raw materials gathered from their constant mountain mining, gnomish civilization developed a predilection for handicraft, for taking unpolished earthen resources and transforming them into miraculous and stunning pieces of art. The gnomes would later be known as some of the best alchemists and metallurgists in the continent, and for thousands of years they worked diligently, meticulously smithing swords, cutting and polishing jewels, and developing innovative tools and methods to produce their craft. Gnomish society took shape in the sooty mines and hot fires of cavernous forges, where large families and interwoven communities formed networks of familial clans. The gnomes prefer to live in a communal and free society, one with less hierarchical structure than the other races. The clan elders speak and listen to the concerns of others, but they themselves don't have the final say in what action is to be taken. Rather, the clan reaches a collective decision on how best to steward itself. The Reverend Yar of Elander, in his treatise on the history of the Elder Races, describes gnomes as such. Like dwarves, they love their handiwork and are particularly adept at the arts of the metallurgist, the armorer, the jeweler, and the goldsmith. Not many, however, elect to ply their trade beyond their native lands, since their grand mastery and the profits which it brings inevitably becomes the object of envy and thus human aversion, which ends in slander at best and pogroms at worst. In the modern era, gnomes have a reputation as the finest artisans and crafters in the northern kingdoms. They often remain in their cloistered communities deep within the mountains, but those who venture into the cities of men quickly earn their keep as respected smiths, alchemists, and jewelers, tirelessly perfecting fine pieces of armor and accessories. Although they are notorious as master alchemists and metallurgists, gnomes rarely rely on magic to craft wares. Rather, they stick close to their centuries-old traditions, secret formulae, and proprietary techniques held fast by the clans. The grandest work of the gnomes are swords known as Gwyhyr, and are reputed to be the finest swords ever forged. Secretive and mysterious, the gnomes will never part with their methods, and as such, gnomish smiths have become quite a commodity. Though they're typically peaceful and live in coexistence with the Mahakam dwarves, gnomes are bitter enemies with the kobolds. These goblin-like creatures lurk deep within the caverns and mines beneath the mountains and frequently invade the gnomes' territory, bringing chaos and wreaking havoc. The next elder race to arrive on the continent were the dwarves. Dwarves differ from gnomes in their build. They're much thicker and tougher than the slender gnomes, and almost all dwarves have full, long beards that they plait in designs signifying their family or clan allegiance. Even female dwarves, known across the continent for their unsightly appearance, can grow long beards. The dwarves of the continent are often brazen, gregarious, and quite jovial. They're short and stocky, reaching perhaps a human's chest, but they're stronger and more durable than humans or even gnomes. This makes dwarves a fearsome adversary on the pitched fields of battle. They're known across the realms to have a stalwart martial presence that never flags or falters. They wield large battle axes and warhammers, smithed from the great dwarven forges. The venerable Reverend of Elander also speaks of the formidability of the dwarves when discussing the Mahakam volunteer detachment. They served with honor and valor, equal to any of the storied regiments of the Northern Wars. Though dispatched many times to the very front line and thrown into the greatest fray time and again, these brave volunteers never faltered, fighting on even in the face of overwhelming odds with unparalleled dedication. Due to human prejudice, however, most historians omit the valiant acts of the dwarves. A dwarf is talkative, frequently telling stories or sharing information, and always seeking to learn more from others. Their conversations are punctuated by all manner of foul language, and they lack much of the refinement found in the culture of other races. Dwarves are straight to the point and hearty, characteristics that help them survive the harsh conditions of the Mahakam mountain ranges and its deep caverns, where the majority of the dwarven race resides. Despite their shared settlement location with the gnomes, the two races lived in harmonious peace when the dwarves first arrived on the continent. roughly 3,000 to 4,000 years before the coming of humans. And to this day, the gnomes have sought asylum from humanity's prejudice in the Dwarven Mahakam. The dwarves first settled the rocky peaks and dark caverns of the mountains millennia ago, with no ambition for expansion, seeking only to continuously toil in their blazing forges and the claustrophobic stretches of mines that extend further and further into the earth. In relative isolation, dwarven society developed into one of deep familial obligation and ancestral ties. Dwarves divide themselves into different clans depending on their location and family tree. Each clan is led by its elders, who deliberate on the most pressing of matters. Unlike the communal gnomes, dwarves have a more structured social hierarchy. Their culture is one of master crafters, smiths, and smelters. They harvest iron ore and many other natural resources found in the belly of Mahakam, refine them in their forges, then craft valuable items that they proceed to distribute all across the northern kingdoms and beyond. Mahakam, considered a vassal state of Temeria by the humans, is the single largest exporter of iron and steel, a fact the dwarves use as leverage to remain mostly a sovereign and autonomous state. Like the gnomes, dwarves are secretive and protective of their ancestral homeland. The enclave of Mahakam sits behind looming walls and tower defenses carved from the mountainside, its gates closed to outsiders. Inside, the great swords of the gnomes are crafted, and the exquisite iron and alloys of the dwarves are smelted. On occasion, however, the dwarves do open the gates and allow foreigners and travelers alike to take in the wonders found within Mahakam. A dwarf loves nothing if not a good ale, and every 25 years, the Mahakam Ale Festival kicks off. The gates burst open, and all are welcome to join in the drinking and revelry of the festival, showcasing the ingenuity and culture of the mountain races. When not covered in sparks from their forges, dwarves have often ventured into human lands and settled within cities. Many have assimilated into the northern kingdoms better than the gnomes. They acquire positions as master smiths in towns, as merchants traveling between cities to peddle wares, and as bankers of large cities. Still, dwarves are often discriminated against by the intolerant humans. The last of the elder races, and that most synonymous with the title, is the elves. Elves, called Ensaid in their native tongue, which means people of the hills, are a race distinct from the gnomes and dwarves, with their short frames and preference for mountain caverns. Rather, elves have characteristics more closely associated with humans. They're tall, with fair skin and slender bodies. Their faces and physical features are quite symmetrical, and combined with their nimble grace, elves are a very attractive race. They do, however, differ from humans in many respects, most notably in their slightly pointed ears. Ensaid also have a much longer lifespan than humans, living centuries or more in their secluded communities, which grants them a nearly indefinite youthful look. Many of the Ensaid are naturalists, preferring to live harmonious lives in tune with the greater world, and gently coax the land rather than brutally shape it to their will. Their communities exist in the expansive forests and foothills of the east. The elves are master trackers and hunters, felling game with traditional light bows or harvesting wild fruits growing beneath the canopy. In battle, too, elves are known for carrying little besides their exquisitely crafted bows, light armor, and small daggers or short swords. Rather than rely on plate mail and heavy weapons, elves maximize their combat abilities by remaining nimble and swift, darting in and out of cover to confuse and debilitate their enemies. The Ensaid also have a deep connection and understanding of the power. They channel it to produce magic, cast spells, and heal fallen comrades. In fact, the Elvish language, called Elder Speech because it is the oldest language still in use, can be heard within the magical hymns of the Dryads, and is often employed by mages and sorceresses to cast spells. Elvish affinity for magic, especially in certain family lineages, is what gave rise to Elder Blood, an important piece in the story arc of the character Ciri, and an interesting topic for another video. The story of the elves on the continent begins over 2,000 years before the arrival of humans, but their origins take us to another realm, another world entirely. The ancestors of today's elves lived in a world that faced imminent destruction. Social upheaval, resource mismanagement, and prolonged periods of war turned the elvish homeworld into one of desolation. Aggression and infighting created a rift from which emerged two clans, the Ensaid, which we've discussed thus far, and the Enel, or People of the Alders. A tumultuous time for the multiverse unfolded in the years before and leading to the conjunction of the spheres, where new worlds were born, bridges between existing worlds were created, and other realms were ripped apart entirely. It's during this time that the two clans of elves diverged. The Ensaid were brought to the Earth, while the Enel traveled to another world entirely, where they would assert superiority and dominion over the lands in short order. But we'll start by following the path of the Ensaid. After arriving to Earth, the elves created a vast fleet of white ships, braving uncharted oceans and dangerous storms to land on the continent. The elves referred to this time as the Great Migration, and they landed on the glistening shores of the continent some 2,000 years before the arrival of the first humans. The elves, however, found the land already inhabited by the early civilizations of elder races, which had existed for roughly 1,000 years. Either due to the nature of dwarves and gnomes, or to their lack of ambition to expand much beyond the familiar and safe mountain ranges they had settled, the elves expanded in relative peace with the other races. What they saw in the landscape of the primordial continent was promise and opportunity, a chance to grow, to develop, and to build their civilization anew. The early elves were master stonemasons, architects with grand vision, who set about erecting great cities and beautiful settlements. In their golden age of expansion, the elves fought several skirmishes and small pitched battles with the Mahakam dwarves, but their cities and culture continued to thrive. That is, until a most peculiar and ignorant race made landfall on the continent, an event that would see the elvish golden age sink into a bitter twilight and negatively impact all the elder races currently residing on the continent. In the year 230 BR, the conjunction of the spheres takes place, and early humans are brought to the world and the continent. But the trouble is just beginning. Roughly 500 years later, Nordling settlers and explorers arrive on the shores of the continent, on the far reaches of the Elvish Empire, bringing with them an insatiable hunger for land and power. The First Landing, as it would later be named, brought the ancestors of the current-day Northern Kingdoms across the Great Ocean and onto the fertile banks of the continent. The elves first regarded humans with curiosity and contempt, an uncivilized race that didn't appreciate or understand the beautiful power of nature. Humanity quickly erected villages and small cities, and elvish diplomats were sent to begin peaceful relations, teaching humans about the ways of magic. But they underestimated the vanity and greed of humans, and their relentless drive to realize their ambitions. The Nordlings soon brought fire and steel upon great elvish cities. Believing that violence would cost the lives of too many elves, the Ensaid decided to retreat, to leave their proud settlements abandoned, hoping that the brutal march of humanity would soon stall. For much of their remaining history, the elves' lands are encroached upon, and the race is slaughtered in many wars, skirmishes, and massacres. The last remaining lands of the elves consist of small settlements to the far east, bordering the Blue Mountains and the beautiful fields of Dol Blathana. The fate of the NL differs greatly from their Ensaid cousins. Rather than befalling forced migration and subjugation, the NL brought violence with them and conquered their new world with relative ease. It isn't certain whether humans existed on the world of the NL before their arrival, or if the thousands of human bones and scattered remains found on their world were those brought as slaves by the elves. What is certain is that another race lives on in the world of the NL, and one the elves are still doing battle with, the enigmatic and mystical unicorns. In the multiverse of The Witcher, unicorns are among the most powerful magical beings, a sentient race of interdimensional creatures that can travel through both space and time, across the farthest reaches of the multiverse. An ability that the NL had before the conjunction. Their centuries-old war with the unicorns was instigated in hopes of using the creatures' abilities to power devices and allow the elves to once more travel the multiverse unimpeded. The ability to step between worlds allows NL warriors to skirmish or outright conquer lands that would otherwise be out of reach, beyond the vast ether of the multiverse. The strength and brutality of the NL can be felt on the continent in the form of a spectral band of mounted riders. Horrid tales and ghost stories amongst the Nordlings tell of the Wild Hunt, the Wraiths of Morhaug, a small group of ghastly riders that steal away the helpless and act as heralds or omens of war. An anonymous account can be read in excerpts from Memories from Beyond Time. I was abducted on an autumn night. The Wild Hunt passed over our hamlet and took me with them, spiriting me away to their world, a place at the same time indescribably beautiful and terrifying. I was imprisoned, though no chains bound me. The Wild Hunt is actually a group of NL soldiers known as the Red Riders, that through means of portals, travel the multiverse in search of slaves from other worlds to serve the Alder Folk. The Wild Hunt plays an integral role in Ciri's storyline due to their interest in her elder blood. I'd like to take a moment to discuss another race of non-humans, but one that isn't considered an elder race in the traditional sense, the Halflings. As the name suggests, halflings are about half the size of a human, on par with dwarves and gnomes, but they share more physical traits with humans, looking as their shorter, smaller counterparts. One discernible feature of halflings is their large and hairy feet, and halflings often choose to go without shoes. They're resistant or immune to many different types of magic. Halflings arrived on the continent at the same time as humans, during the conjunction of the spheres, which is why they might not be considered an elder race. Coming into a world already settled by many other races, the halflings chose to assimilate rather than conquer. They have communities within the cities of the Northern Kingdoms, where they've become indispensable members of society. They enterprise large businesses, keep books, balance budgets, and cook as excellent chefs in many towns and villages. Despite the prejudice they face, halflings find themselves most at home within the human dwellings they've lived for many centuries. Despite their many differences, there are some things that the elder races share. First, a deep-seated hatred, a boiling resentment within humanity's northern kingdoms for the elder races. Though some individuals from each species have successfully assimilated into the world of humans, discrimination and prejudice run deep, which has led to several brutal periods in history. Spans of time where bitter persecution boiled into bloody massacres and horrifying pogroms, as the humans sought to eradicate the elder races and their cultures. But the non-humans didn't always tolerate the intolerance of man. During the first northern war between the Empire of Nilfgaard and the Northern Kingdoms, a band of non-human guerrilla fighters was established, called the Skoyatel. Also called the Squirrels due to their hats and caps, the Corps of Skoyatel was formed mainly of elves, but had in its ranks dwarves and gnomes as well. Their resentment towards the Nordlings after the atrocities they suffered prodded many non-humans to join the Empire of Nilfgaard, and the squirrel guerrillas were often employed for subterfuge, sabotage, or ambush. This afforded the races that lost so many loved ones to the depredation and prejudice of the Nordlings an opportunity to strike back, to right the societal wrongs they had suffered and exact revenge. Another commonality shared between the elder races is their worship of a deity, a being similar to the god Melitele, who is worshipped as the god of fertility and birth by the northern kingdoms. An excerpt from The Last Wish tells us how the ancient deity of the elder races merged with the beliefs of the Nordlings and gives us a little insight into pre-human religion. It reads, "The cult of Melitele was one of the oldest and in its day one of the most widespread cults from time immemorial. Practically every pre-human race and every primordial nomadic human tribe honored a goddess of harvest and fertility, a guardian of farmers and gardeners, a patroness of love and marriage. Many of these religions merged into the cult of Melitele. It appears as though the dwarves, gnomes, and elves all worshipped a divine being, one closely linked to growth and harvest, to fertility and renewal. A god to lift the spirits and provide hope in a grim and uncertain world." Thanks for watching and listening to this video as we uncovered the secrets of the continent's elder races. Leave a thumbs up if you like the video and be sure to subscribe for more lore content. And now I want to hear from you. Which race is your favorite and why? Which would you like to learn more about? Let me know your thoughts as well as suggestions for future videos in the comments below. A special thanks to my Patreon supporters, and if you'd like to become one, to support the channel and earn a few perks, just click the link in the show notes. Shout out to Alex Joaquin for the intro and outro music. References used can be found in the description. Until next time, go forth and explore the lore.